Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It has passed 4:45. Apologies for the delay. We'll resume the hearing. Looking at the time and the progress that we've made, we would still like to move forward with the next two issues. So to look at landscape and visual and the historic environment. So we'd still like to spend potentially half an hour on each of those. The expectation then is that we introduce the questions and issues that we've raised for the further three areas, so other policy and factual, biodiversity, ecological conservation, and the water environment. Raise those questions, see if there's any clarification needed on those questions, and then ask for those to be considered in writing. So that's our intention. And that should see us finished at 6:00. It may be that we get through the next two areas more quickly, in which case we may be able to address one of those last three issues. But on previous form, that may not be possible. So without further ado, I'll hand over to Simon to take us through landscape and visual impact.
Okay, thank you. The issue of landscape and visual impact is something which I understand that there has been further movement on since the issues were set out in this document. I understand that a meeting is... I've seen the minutes of a meeting which took place between the Highways England, the County Council, and the Derwent Valley Mills World Heritage Site Partnership. Thank you for your efforts in reacting to... in trying to reach an agreement on those matters, in particular in terms of the effect on the Little Eaton Junction. That will certainly be useful for the examination process. However, we do still need to ensure that the matters are properly explored and others may have views which they wish to express. So we will still need to go through the topics which I've outlined, albeit that I understand that the County Council's position in particular has moved on since these questions were phrased. The first issue then I had, and we're looking at item 28 of the agenda, is the update on additional photomontages, in particular those based on the North Avenue planning inquiry, which is referred to in the City Council's response. I understand from Highways England submissions that those further photomontages are being prepared. And it also seemed to me that reading the notes of the meeting that I just referred to, that there were other photomontages which were being circulated, which haven't been submitted yet. So perhaps we could have an update on where we sit with all of that material.
Yes, Simon Wilds on behalf of Highways England. Obviously, we generated additional photomontages from the examining authority that was submitted at the last deadline. At the request of Derby City Council, we were requested to a number of additional photomontages, principally related to some of the viewpoints from the North Avenue inquiry. Those photomontages have now been completed and distributed to both the City Council and the County Council and have been made available to the partnership. So those are now with the heritage specialist. Now they will be made available to the examination at the deadline 3. Okay. So they'll be submitted on the 19th.
Okay. And the additional photomontages which you mentioned in the minutes of the meeting, are they those North Avenue photomontages?
They're a combination of the two. They're a combination of the two. The photomontages mentioned in the minutes are some of the photomontages that were generated for the examining authority, as well as the additional photomontages as well.
Okay, thank you. The other point of part A of my question was just to understand, because I haven't seen the decision notice for the North Avenue inquiry, is to understand what the issues were, what the outcome was, and how it's relevant to this examination. And perhaps I'd look to the City Council there, since it was them that referred to it initially.
Hello.
Hi. Could you just say your name and introduce yourself, please?
Chloe Oswald, Conservation Officer at Derby City Council. Yes, the North Avenue appeal, which I do have a copy here, if you'd wish to have a copy, was development of a housing within the buffer zone, and the entrance to the housing site was within the actual Duet Nottingham's World Heritage site. The reason for the relevance of this public inquiry, which was dismissed, is because of its proximity and its closeness to the current application site. So just wanted to draw that to your attention, just a relevant recent appeal. It also had impact on the same attributes of the World Heritage, the Duet Valley Wales World Heritage site, in terms of the floodplain and the rural agricultural nature of some of the World Heritage sites, which obviously sit around the industrial buildings and settlements.
So I'd just add something there on behalf of Highways England. I mean, clearly it's a scheme that is within part of the World Heritage Site, and I understand that most of the development was actually within the buffer zone rather than within that site. It was for 49 houses, and clearly the impacts of residential development like that in respect of the World Heritage Site is very different to what is being proposed by Highways England, where what we're talking about in terms of there being development is a drainage feature, effectively, within... and I'm not even sure if it's within the World Heritage Site boundary, the drainage feature. The flood compensation area is. So we're talking about something that is, albeit an intervention, is a very different intervention to 49 residential properties within that area. So I think we recognise, obviously, that it's been a decision, and insofar as it's relevant as a decision. I think in terms of it being comparable to the scheme that Highways England presenting, I think we'd say there's little relevance there.
Yeah, clearly, each needs to be considered on its own merits. So
if I could ask you to submit the decision via the website, and that will become an additional submission to the examination. So the second part is whether the revised representative viewpoints and photo montages allow the landscape and visual impacts of the proposal to be properly assessed. For some of us, at least, that's a difficult question to answer because we haven't seen some of the photo montages, but I'm looking particularly at the County Council.
Yes, sir, I think we're very satisfied now with the additional work that's been done, the sort of additional viewpoints, the additional photo montages, and particularly the visualisations, I think, have been very crucial in the County Council's sort of revised opinion on its the impacts of the scheme on the World Heritage Site. It's outstanding universal value. I think the key issue that we've picked up from the viewpoints and visualisations is we've got a greater appreciation now of the impact the existing A38 has on the landscape, i.e. that it is already carried across the floodplain on a sizable embankment, an embankment for the whole of its sort of length, except for two bridges over the river and one over the railway line. Again, with something we didn't quite appreciate, I think, when we initially looked at the scheme. So that's been very important in terms of comparing what the scheme is now and what it will look like on completion, and particularly in 15 years after completion, when the mitigation proposals, the landscape in particular, is matured. So those visualisations particularly have been very key to us, again, a much better appreciation, I think, of the additional impacts of the scheme on completion and its sort of mature phase.
And that's particularly to the west of the junction in the area that's greatest proximity to the World Heritage
Site. Yes, I think that was our biggest concern, Sarah, about the proposed scheme as it crosses the A38, particularly the floodplain. Mm. I think we were very initially concerned that a floodplain is obviously a very fundamental key feature to the appreciation of the universal value of the World Heritage Site. But again, I think the visualisations have shown us that the impact's already there from the existing A38, and again, the sizeable embankment that's already in place. So I think we're satisfied on the basis of the visualisations, particularly that the height of the embankment will be no greater than it is at the moment. Where the flyover joins the embankment, it joins at its highest point. So the actual width of the embankment is quite sizably increased with two expansions to the bridges over the river and the railway line. But certainly the height of the embankment as it carries the new A38, it will be no greater than what's there at the moment. And so from our point of view, I think we feel that the sort of additional impact compared to what's there now and what will be there in 15 years' time is very marginal. And I think that's been very key to our understanding of the landscape and visual impacts and impact on the World Heritage Site generally.
Okay, thank you. From the City Council's point of view, and perhaps from Erewash as well, is there anything else you want to say about the photo montages? Well, and specifically, were you party to the meeting which took place and with the partnership and the County Council? So are you aware of the position that's now been reached?
Yes, sir. Sorry, Paul Clark, Derby City. Yes, sir, we are. Chloe was at the meeting. And I think we welcome the efforts gone into to provide this extra evidence. It's set minds at rest, okay, that we can understand the visualisation, as the county colleague has said, and evidence has been provided, or will be provided, that is adequate to understand its impact on the assessment. Thank you.
Steve Mott from Erewash Borough Council. Well, the Borough Council's been content with the impact, not likely to be significant on the World Heritage Site anyway, but the additional photo montages have sort of reaffirmed that view anyway.
Okay, thank you. Clearly, from the Parish Council's point of view, you won't have seen that additional material. It will be published on the website soon after it's received at deadline 3, which is next Thursday, so you'll have an opportunity to look at it and form an opinion then.
Do those photo montages include views from Bredsall or that direction?
Simon Wild on behalf of Highways England. There's a viewpoint 24, which actually the photo montage, that one was generated on behalf of the examining authority, which has already been submitted.
Yes,
that one is already available.
Thank you. So moving on then to topic 29, some of this I think has been in a sense overtaken by events in as much as the meeting that we've heard about. However, as I say, I still need to be satisfied, and others may have questions on the impact of the proposal. Mr. Buffery has given us an initial view on the effect of the proposal on the character of the landscape in terms of the additional height, the embankments and the land take. Is there anything else that you would like to add, or perhaps following on from that, the City Council and Erewash on that impact?
No other than to say, sir, that there's still a number of outstanding issues we'd like to be involved with, certainly in terms of working up the detailed design of the injunction. I think one is the lighting strategy. I understand from the World Heritage Site Partnership's point of view that they've got an ambition to reduce the impact of light pollution in the World Heritage Site as a whole. So we'd certainly like to be involved in the evolution of the design of the lighting strategy. The landscaping proposals, particularly some concerns about the mix of species, which we've sort of talked about. I think we feel the mix of species is probably far too great, and I think, as my colleague put it, sort of less is more sometimes, so probably less species than what we've seen so far. And I think the other one is the large flood attenuation pond on to the west of the River Derwent. Again, just working with Highways England to ensure that that's sort of designed to look as natural as possible, so it does blend into the existing floodplain and landscape. So three additional issues we'd like to be involved, sort of working up the detail of the design of the scheme. I think we've got agreement with Highways England and their consultants that they're willing to engage us in that process.
Yes, Simon Wild for Highways England. Just clarify, it's not a attenuation feature, it's floodplain compensation areas, so there's no standing water in there. But certainly the key outcomes from the meeting that we had with Partnership, and that's replicated in the councils, is that we'll consult on the detailed design layout of the flood compensation area, as well as the detailed design of the landscape design and the junction lighting.
Okay. So will there be anything further submitted to the examination on the design of the flood compensation area? Because there is a concern that the material that's been submitted so far is essentially an engineering drawing, and that something which is more representative of how the thing may look might help to certainly for us to understand its effects.
The existing drawing looks anything but naturalistic, I would suggest.
At the moment, we're not planning to generate anything else. I mean, it's been generated, the current layout has been generated with a combination of inputs from the landscape staff and the heritage people, and it will not end up looking like an engineered feature. It will look like a field. So we've got a commitment from that we'll liaise with the local authorities and the partnership on the detailed design of that and the layout, so we weren't proposing to do anything else at this stage.
I'm just wondering whether it would be more helpful to have something more representative at this moment. I just made an off-the-cuff remark that the existing drawing doesn't appear naturalistic. I don't know if that's agreed, but... whether it's more helpful to have a better starting point, if you like, for those proposals.
Well, I think that's reasonable if you're prepared to do that. Yeah.
So Liz Dunfer, I was thinking that we may need to take that one away. I'm not entirely sure what we do, but we can look at how we can do that. I think just to provide again some reassurance to both authorities. Requirement 16 around highway lighting requires that scheme to be approved. there to be consultation with both councils in respect to the highway lighting designs. Equally, the detailed design under requirement 12 and the details of the flood compensation storage under requirement 14. So effectively, each of those key elements, there is an obligation on Highways England to consult with both authorities in terms of the details of those works, so that's sort of built in already. But we will look at whether there is anything usefully we can do in addition.
From the parish council's point of view, clearly you're at something of a disadvantage because you haven't seen the material which has been exchanged between the applicant and the councils. But is there anything you'd like to say in addition to what we heard this morning regarding landscape impact?
Yes, obviously, as the landscape does have a significant impact on Bredsall, we'd welcome the opportunity to be brought in on these discussions, or kept in the loop, as it were, which it appears we're not being at the moment.
You mean in the current discussions?
Yes.
Yeah, OK.
I don't know whether that's...
Well, should we open the door for Derbyshire County Council to comment on that?
Yes, I think we discussed this earlier on, didn't we, sir?
We talked about the future discussions.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
I think the point has been made about the current discussions.
Well, certainly from now on, I'm quite happy to liaise with the parish council on the scheme as we work with Highways England and their consultants, just to keep them in the loop, as it were. Yeah.
Thank you. Was that the point? Okay.
The next topic concerns Greenbelt and the openness of the Greenbelt. Now, this is one of those matters where there certainly is a visual aspect to Greenbelt openness. There's also a spatial aspect. There's a consideration in terms of the purpose of the scheme that's being proposed. As things stand, and as I understand it, the meeting which took place didn't consider Greenbelt policies, so this is something which hasn't progressed since this question was written, but all the parties agree that there would be an impact on openness. The applicant says it wouldn't be material harm, the test as far as certainly the national planning policy framework and by implication the NPS is concerned is that any impact on openness has to be considered, and if openness isn't preserved, then the test under paragraph 146 wouldn't be met. So that doesn't mean there can be no change, but it does mean that there has to be as a fairly low test in terms of the any adverse harm before the effect on openness becomes material. So perhaps if I look to the appellant to kick us off on this, and just so we can understand your position on that point before we move on to consider other parties.
Liz Dunn for Highways England. Our position is that there is no impact on greenbelt openness as a result of this project. The existing A38 already passes through the greenbelt. This is a similar proposal in respect of that, and in terms of the consideration of openness, it doesn't change that position from that perspective.
County Council?
I think a similar position now, sir. I think, as just said over the other side of the table, I think now we've got a good appreciation that the existing A38, the way it's carried across the floodplain particularly, it does already have that impact on the openness of the greenbelts as a linear structure. So, again, it seemed logical to us that in terms of options, the only option is to facilitate these improvements in a greenbelt location. I don't think it'd be facilitated anywhere else. Again, we consider that the landscape and visual impacts issues we've just discussed very intrinsic to the consideration of greenbelt. So our view is that the impact on openness will be sort of marginal when the scheme is completed and 15 years time when the associated mitigation has matured. So we feel as though the openness won't be quite any more significantly compromised than it is at the moment.
So marginal is a term that I could take away from that, because I'm considering the policy test, and certainly there are considerations where limited harm, for example, on openness, has been found enough to trigger the idea that the impact on openness would be unacceptable. There is a separate consideration, of course, that if I come to, or we come to the conclusion that there is a impact on openness and that therefore the greenbelt harm has been triggered, then we consider the benefits and very special circumstances. So, but before we do that, I need to understand whether there is an impact or not. So at this stage, I don't want to confuse the benefits of the scheme with the impact on openness, because they are separate considerations in the policy test.
Just probably on that point, my landscape and visual impact assessment colleague, well, he described the sort of additional impact as indiscernible, so maybe that's probably a better word, sir. Okay, it might help you, I think.
The argument that you raised before with reference to the World Heritage Site was comparing the embankment, the existing embankment, with the proposed embankment in the vicinity of the World Heritage Site. So I understand your argument around that. To the east of the junction, the existing embankment isn't comparable with the existing embankment to the west of the junction. So there is a different feature being introduced with an embankment, and an embankment several metres high. How does that factor into your considerations? That is still within the greenbelt.
Yeah, I think, again, the visualisation we've had from Highways England and their consultants, particularly one of the viewpoints from the east of the junction, and how the flyover will be sort of viewed and perceived from the east, again, on the maturity of the scheme, again, well, very, again, marginal impact, limited impact, or indiscernible. So some impact, but as far as we're concerned, not sufficient to impact on the openness of the greenbelt.
Okay. Thank you. Looking to Erewash, do you have a...
Steve Watt from Erewash Borough Council. Erewash Borough Council said that it would impact on the openness of the greenbelt, but we didn't feel that harm was at a very high level, it's clearly a significant feature in the landscape now, and that will be modified, but it would be quite a reasonable significant change, but not to such a level that would undermine the greenbelt purposes. The question then is if is a level of harm, and whether you then need to go back and think, is it inappropriate development, and are there then very special circumstances? Yeah. We didn't feel that the harm was that great to trigger that, but even if you did take that view, we felt there were clear, very special circumstances to justify it.
Okay. Derby City, have you got anything to add on Greenbelt openness?
Paul Clark, no, thank you.
Okay. The Parish Council, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes, Mike Poplar, Bradshaw Parish Council. I think our only ongoing point would be that the chosen option would be more significant harm to the Greenbelt than the other possible options that have been considered and rejected.
Just rewinding a little bit to some of Derbyshire County Council's previous submissions. So there were submissions made with respect to a simple, elegant viaduct. I think a case that was presented with care at that time. And there are a number of specific points raised as to why that scheme might be considered preferable at that point. I think it would be helpful to us if Derbyshire County Council could perhaps reference back to the arguments made at that time, so the specific reasons that were put forward for the simple, elegant viaduct, and explain how its thinking has developed against each of those specific points. Is that possible? Because that would, again, we understand that agreement has been reached, and the views of the councils have moved forward. We still need to, for our own sake, be convinced of those arguments. So we have arguments on the table of detailed points that we need to address, those detailed points. And so to have an explanation of how your thoughts have developed against each of those points would be helpful in doing that.
Well, I think when the County Council's Conservation Design Officers first started considering the scheme, their appreciation was that the sort of floodplain and the way the A38 gets carried over the floodplain, it is more open than it actually is. Mm. As I say, for the photo montage we've had, obviously, it's a continuous embankment. I don't think they quite appreciated that. They thought it wasn't quite that significant when they were... So they did think opportunities for a viaduct, it would allow a better appreciation of the floodplain, the landscape, as I think it was said in the written representations, appreciation of how the landscape flows perhaps underneath a viaduct was a potential option we were considering. Mm. So that was a sort of a rationale for it.
Yeah.
But I think we're taking we have to be reasonable in terms of comparing what's there now and what will be there in the future. Yeah. As I say, the impact is already there with this extensive embankment across the floodplain. Mm. So that impact is already there. Yeah. So that's probably why we're not pursuing the viaduct option anymore, because we understand from Highways England as well that the viaduct option does actually raise some quite fundamental design and engineering issues as well, which probably again hadn't quite appreciated when we started putting forward this option.
So I understand the way that that's been presented. Would you be able though to prepare a written submission for us that goes back through those previous points and explains how the thinking has developed?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Any more on Greenbelt and openness before we move on to the historic environment? Well, again, this issue has been affected by the meeting which took place, and you may be aware that Historic England have made a brief initial additional submission in an email on the 4th of December, so we've got a little bit more flesh on their position. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to attend today. The same principle applies here as it does to our consideration of the landscape impact. We understand the positions that has now been reached, but we still need to be satisfied that the impacts have been properly considered. So I will go through the points in question 31 and get the parties' views. Yes, the essential character of the landscape is the flat floodplain with the existing embankment sitting on it. The issue, I guess, from my point of view, is the extent to which that existing built feature, the A38 and its associated embankment, affects the attributes of the World Heritage Site and how we should sort of take that into account. Who wants to start off on this, and perhaps from the City Council's point of view?
Chloe Oswald, Conservation Officer, Derby City Council. Well, obviously the A38 was there when the World Heritage Site was inscribed in 2001. Obviously it is a feature that's there. The boundary of the Derwent Valley Mills World Heritage Site was drawn at the edge of the floodplain, so that was one specific reason for why the boundary is where it is. Obviously, in terms of the contribution to the outstanding universal value, obviously, in terms of the statement and the criteria to which the World Heritage Site was inscribed is all set out within the Derwent Valley Mills World Heritage Site Management Plan. So in terms of the main impact, I mean, the visualisations, the new recent, have been very helpful. And I think the main issue, I think, is the things which have already been covered in terms of the naturalness of the flood compensation areas, the area, the lighting and the landscaping. So they would have the main impact on the OUP of the World Heritage Site.
And County Council's point of view, is there anything you wish to add?
Not much more to add to that, sir. I think from our point of view, the floodplain was probably the most important feature of the landscape that we, from most of most concern to the County Council and the way the scheme has been designed.
Okay. Errol Wash?
Nothing further to add.
No. Okay, thank you. There was also a concern that the proposal may have a impact on other heritage assets which contribute to the significance of the World Heritage Site, one of which is the Little Eaton Canal, and certainly the Friends of Little Eaton Canal have expressed a concern. I'm not sure whether there's anyone from that organisation here this afternoon. Just looking at the City Council and Derby County Council, anything to add on the effect on the Little Eaton Canal or other heritage assets?
If there's any additional concerns that we raise in our written submission, sir, so I don't think there's anything I'd like to add.
Okay. From the City Council?
No, we haven't got anything further to add on that.
The Parish Council's point of view, is there anything you'd like to contribute on the impact on other heritage assets in the
No, I don't think so. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we've rattled through that fairly quickly. Is there anything from the applicant's point of view that you'd like to say in respect of the impacts on the heritage assets?
Sorry, Amy Jones on behalf of Highways England. No, the assessments we've undertaken, so the Heritage Impact Assessment and the EIA, both covered other assets within the World Heritage Site, so information's there.
Okay. we've made good progress in the last 2 points. I think what we will still do, though, is to introduce the questions for the last 3 topics, and I think still cover those in writing. So let's do that, and maybe pick out some of the ones that there might be views on here today. So other policy and factual issues. I think if we go straight to 34, so carbon footprint and embodied carbon. So we're looking for written responses to these, of course. There had been representations made by one or other local authority. I apologise, I don't have the details with me currently, but the possibility of benchmarking the scheme, creating carbon reduction targets. Is there anything that the local authorities would like to contribute on that? Nothing from Derby City, Derbyshire County Council? Nothing currently? Okay. Please, yeah.
So I'm kind of representing Derby Cycling Group, but also myself as a young person. So something I'm conscious of today, I've been here for about 7 hours, just scanning the room, no offence intended. I'm probably one of the youngest people here, and something I'm conscious of is that if I'm ever sat in positions such as yourself, it will be 2050, which is when the government's committed to there being zero carbon emissions. So what you're essentially doing now, and you know, you all seem very good at your jobs, and this is all very well prepared, but you could be investing all of this time, energy and skill set in building future-proof transport networks. And this is not future-proof. You're enabling your children and your grandchildren to use cars, which is just not sustainable. And I've all the mitigation, it sounds great, but no mitigation or no amount of assessments that you've done is going to overrule the negative impact that this is going to have. So I just wanted to, I mean, I've waited patiently, I've listened to it all, because it's important to listen to what you've put together. But for me, I've made a commitment to never learn to drive, because it will negatively impact the environment. So I just think it's important to bear in mind that what you're building now is for future generations. And I think that it's a responsibility that you have to a certain extent to bear that in mind. Yeah, that's it.
Point well made, thank you. Would the applicant care to respond on that one? No, I think a point well made.
Can I ask then just why the applicant won't respond, just purely because this scheme is designed for people to use in the future. And if in the future we're looking at zero carbon emissions, then why widen a road that will enable more car usage? For example, from a cycling perspective, you could have integrated cycle superhighways. I used to work for London Cycling Campaign. Obviously in London, they've rolled out quite extensive cycle infrastructure. So my question to the City Council as well is, if you've declared a climate emergency, how can we endorse the widening of a road to enable further car usage? And I think it's important that the applicant should respond to that. Please, I've waited 7 hours, thanks.
This scheme is being promoted by Highways England, is being promoted on the basis that it is supported by government policy, it's supported by the government's road investment strategy, and it's supported by the City Councils. On that basis, it is a scheme that there's considered to be a need for in terms of how current traffic and transport is being mitigated. The aim is that there will be currently the congestion that is there creates issues for the city, and it creates issues for the city and the county in terms of future growth. As I say, this scheme is being brought forward within the existing legal and policy context in terms of this type of development. There are clearly issues around where we as a country go, what we do in respect of net zero and all those kind of points. At the moment, this is a scheme, as I say, that is part of a programme being brought forward, that's being brought forward by government, and that's probably as much as I can say.
Okay, thank you. There are policy tests that we have, and were you here yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that there are policy tests around CO2 emissions. There are various lines of inquiry that we're taking around those assessments, around embodied carbon, around encouragement to non-motorised users And you've seen a little bit of that today, and there's a lot more in the written submissions. I have to support the applicant's points largely, that we are following current policy, and that's what we have to do in this sort of circumstance. So until, if and when the policy changes, then we have to respond to it. And you know, the 2050 target, zero carbon 2050, is one that has been raised. That is yet to fully work through policy in terms of breaking that down into specific targets at different times. So that's the framework we have to work under. So we're legally obliged to do that.
Would it be possible to ask the City Council's perspective on the declaration of a climate emergency in the relation to a supporting scheme, please?
Would the Council like to respond to that? Okay.
Paul Clark, yes. Without getting political...
Please.
You hinted at it. You started it. Without getting political, we work within a framework set by our government. We have to whenever I'm determining a planning application, I have to determine it based on set criteria. And if I refuse it, it goes to appeal, and if it's not sustainable, my decision, it gets overturned. So we have, these two inspectors have to determine this application based on criteria set by government. That said, this will enable traffic to get through Derby quicker on the A38. Not going to stop at the various junctions. So it has its intrinsic benefits in terms of air quality, speed of traffic passing through. My one bugbear is it's all going to pile up at the junction 28 on the M1 as you everything speeds through. So something's going to happen a bit further along the line. But for Derby, it is going to improve the air quality and potentially investment and everything else that goes with it for Derby. That's my job. These two gentlemen have to decide whether this meets local and national tests and requirements. But I do seriously take on board your comments. And we are just about to employ a climate change officer for Derby City, who will be rattling cages across many departments to try and wake up the old people who are making decisions, which for the younger people.
And I guess there may be opportunities for young people to engage in that.
Absolutely. Another plug, we are embarking on probably a part two of our local plan, and I want young people involved in it. So I'll be going to the university to say, look, it's your city, get involved in it. I'll have retired by the time the impacts happen, but the impacts will be there, so we've got to plan for the future.
Does any other council want to make any points? No. Thank you for making the point, and thank you for challenging. I think it's always good to have challenges of that sort. It's important, so thank you. I'm not going to go through other points. I think the remaining points on that we've started on, but I won't continue on around. I've just lost my list. The other policy matters around biological, around water. So if we could address all of those in writing. Are there any points anyone would like to make on any of those points before we wrap up? Looking to the local authorities, no? Content, and if you have any points to raise in writing on those. Yeah. We'll just get a microphone to you. Sorry, or you get to a microphone.
Nick Tolley, Derby City Council. I'd just like to say that my overriding issue with the water environment is the discharge rates. Has there been any...
Is what, sorry?
Discharge rates of the drainage systems.
Yep.
Has there been any movement on that? Because we've responded to these sort of questions several times, and it's not clear how the process is moving forward.
So you've asked for some numbers on discharge rates?
Yes. Yep.
Which haven't been provided?
That's correct. To my knowledge at the moment.
Yep.
Liz Dunfer, Highways England. So I understand that there has been some discussion about this, some information has been provided. It hasn't necessarily addressed all the concerns. I suggest we continue with this offline in terms of the discussion. I think there is a slight in terms of Highways England's position, it's providing what it can at this stage, and I think that part of the information that's being requested is actually information that would come through at the detailed design stage rather than this stage. I understand that this fits very much within some other discussions we've been having today, but we will continue that dialogue and see if we can reach a position where the County Council, the City Council, sorry, are comfortable that I am starting to lose my mind, where the City Council are comfortable in respect of the information that's there.
So we'll again, continue. Just to rehearse previous yes. arguments, it's important that sufficient information is provided at this stage to enable significant impacts to be identified and to be satisfied those have been assessed properly.
That's understood.
Okay. So, discussions continuing and we look forward to hearing the outcome of those. Any other points in the final areas that we haven't covered as yet? Okay, thank you. In that case, let's move on to agenda item 5. We've spoken about providing written submissions as we've gone along. Those written submissions are very important, please. So where you've agreed to provide those, if they can be provided by deadline 3, that would be much appreciated. If it does take longer, then please still provide them at a later deadline. I understand the pressures in the week ahead for a lot of people, so... please do still provide them if you can. Thank you. The audio recording of the hearing will be published as soon as is practicable. The website has details of the next steps in the examination. Is there anything else anybody in the room has to raise in relation to the matters covered today? No? So we've covered all of the items on the agenda. There are a number of issues to be dealt with in writing. It's been a long day. We've had to cram a lot in to accommodate the general election, which unfortunately was called after these hearings were arranged. We were going to have a hearing tomorrow. That wasn't practicable. It has been very adventurous is not quite the right term, but it's the only
ambitious.
One that comes to mind.
Ambitious,
thank you. It's been very ambitious to try and cover as much as we have, but actually I think we've made good progress on a number of items, and we've been able to close off a few, and we've been able to focus in on items that need more detailed consideration. So it's been valuable from that point of view. Thank you for all of your inputs. Thank you for your stamina and for bearing with us. All that remains then is to thank you for your assistance today, wish you a safe journey home. On behalf of Simon, myself, Bart and the Planning Inspectorate, to wish you a very happy Christmas and a good new year, and we look forward to seeing you in the new year. Thank you very much. This issue-specific hearing is now closed. Thank you.